When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing the murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
This one for the bad boys inside. Enjoy the ride. Oh my gosh, coming in, we're doing a thing. Oh my gosh, get ready.
Yeah, Rob, you're so sexy.
Get ready to hoot and howl. It's time for the Wolf and Owl. Oh, this one. This one, Wolf and Owl podcast inside the ride.
Do you know what? Do you ever get halfway through that? Does it feel like? I know we've said this before.
Do you know what? Do you know what? I went quiet for a bit there because I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I know. But you also, like, because of your top today, there's this Westwood vibe, isn't there?
That, oh, no.
Yeah. Sometimes I look at you and I'm like, if you weren't such an amazing comedian, you could have easily been like the new Tim Westwood.
Oh, shut up, dickhead. How are you, Tom?
Mate, I'm sweating, boy. I just went for a long, old, sweet walk.
With the doggo?
Yeah. Took him. You've got to take him out.
Have you noticed dogs are being called doggos now? Have you noticed this?
I've never seen this.
That you're aware of?
Like, okay. Where I am, that would be frowned upon. Who's calling them doggos?
Not on social media. People are friends to dogs as doggos now. I took the doggo for a walk.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why I had to give you a sentence to make it actually sense.
I can't work out why they do that. Why would you like...
No.
They've been called dogs for ages.
I know, but I think this social media has exacerbated this need to refer to things slightly differently or, you know...
Jenny, just thinking about it, if I called my dog Doggo, he would just look at me and go, what are you talking about, you wanker?
Okay, well, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, you know, you currently call your dog is a dog at the moment, but you don't call your dog, do you?
Yeah, sometimes I go,
your dog's got a name.
Dog boy. I call him dog boy sometimes.
You call him dog boy? What's his actual name?
Landis. Well, I call him loads
Landis.
Of different things. Yeah, I call him loads of different things.
You call him loads of different things. You call him loads of different things. I'm not a dog expert, but I would imagine that's incredibly confusing for a dog.
I call him John boy sometimes.
Right, great.
I like to keep him on his toes. My dog's very intelligent, so sometimes it's a battle of wits between the two of us. So what I like to do is just like really sort of like throw a little curveball at him now and again. Mm. He's not liking this weather, by the way. He's shrugging.
Well, what would you have to do about the little pads on their paws? What do you do?
No, okay. This is where you go out early, big dog. This is where you go out early.
Oh, okay. Listen, I don't mind you calling your dog different stuff. Don't start calling me dog stuff.
You go out early with them, so the ground isn't as hot, and you just, you know, I got pied like twice today though.
Gone. What happened?
So since lockdown and everything and da da da, I've become obviously a regular dog walker. I make that, you know, me and my wife go, and I like the morning. I love saying morning to people. I get a buzz out of it. Well, mate, come on, don't tell me you're not a morning person.
I would do it if somebody does it. But look, I'll happily say morning to people. I would. It's just that wasn't what I was growing at. It's the fact that you describe yourself as that person, like you sort of really enjoy it.
Right, I walk past someone.
Morning.
I do. Morning.
Nice day for it.
No. Don't get dizzy. Don't get dizzy and drunk. It's a simple morning. And then what I noticed is like two people completely dismissed it and didn't say anything.
Mm.
And you know, the second one, I went, morning. Like,
what, again?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what we did?
Sweet kid.
Lisa and I went for a walk the other day. It was absolutely, I would say we had a lovely morning.
Right.
Do you ever have that thing where just spontaneously you decide to do a quick thing and you just have a lovely, lovely time?
Yeah, that's the best. Spontaneity is a key of success.
Yeah, it is absolutely. Spontaneity is the key to success. You're right.
Glorious prick.
So Lisa and I decided to go for a little walk to Tilgate Park in Crawley, which is a lovely little park. And we had a wander over there, had a nice chat. It was great. And then went to this little food place, little food kiosk. They had so many vegan options. I couldn't believe it.
So what you're telling me is it all came up wrong.
It did all come up wrong. Little vegan hot dogs, vegan bacon bap. Lovely. What did I have? Can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Did Lisa have vegan stuff to support you or me?
Lisa, she doesn't ever do anything to support. I didn't mean that in the grand scheme of things.
Well, she's been holding up this podcast for about a year, so.
Yeah, I know. Meal wise. Oh, by the way, thanks a lot for all the emails highlighting how much better it's been since Lisa's been selecting the emails. By the way, thank you so much for that. But we were walking back, and there was a guy riding his bike sort of towards us along this sort of path through the woods.
Yeah.
And we had to just clear the way completely because it's quite a narrow little bit.
So I'm tense already. I'm annoyed.
Right. We stood to the side. The guy rides past, doesn't even make eye contact, bro. Like, just rides completely past. And then Lisa goes, "You're welcome!" Just, like, really sort of aggy.
Catherine does it. Yeah, Catherine. To be fair, it's my pet hate. Do you know, actually, to be fair, like some cyclists, you'll get every now and again when you get a really friendly, nice cyclist, it's like such a rewarding, amazing thing, isn't it? When you get one that's just been really, really kind and considerate, who's just thank you. Something's going on in Robinson's room.
Sorry, there's a fucking wasp has just flown in there.
You look terrified.
No, I hate them, man. I've got a real thing about them.
I like the way that you've leveled up trying to look quite sort of gangster today and then literally sort of sitting back really cool and a wasp comes into the room and your fucking arsehole just drops.
I hate wasps.
I hate all so summer much. Bugs. Like, I'm like, what?
There you go. Like, do you know what? What a great statement. So wasps, what else do you hate?
All the mate, I don't even know the name of them or what they do. There's a whole fucking raft of things. The only one I fucking have any time for is bees. Like, I see a bee, I'm like, mate, well done. I'd fucking buy you a pint if you're big enough to have one. Right? And I'll fucking keep supporting the honey industry.
How terrifying a pint that would be, by the way. Just having a fucking pint with a massive bee. What a horrific evening that would be.
No, but like, I look at them and I think, mate, you're incredible for what you're doing. You're holding up the industry of life. You're fucking basically...
Can you just qualify what you're saying?
No,
you're holding up the industry of life. It's because you like honey, is that why you like bees?
Mate, this is the thing. It's like you see the outset of honey, right? What they're doing is actually pollinating stuff and keeping flowers growing.
Okay.
So, mate, what you see is like, oh, my God, this is pathetic. I genuinely love you with all my heart, but I do not. If I was out with you in a pub right now and you acted like this, I would distance myself. And that's saying something, because I'd have a drink with anyone.
Yeah, of course you would. You'd go and have a drink with a fucking stranger, yet you'd move away from me.
No, if you were like this, your face is contouring into places I didn't even think were possible. You're absolutely terrified by a wasp.
I just hate them.
Do you think this wasp is going back to the other wasps now and go, if you want to laugh, mate?
Yeah, honestly.
Get yourself down. Head over. Yeah, there's this geezer. I've never seen anyone terrified. What is he like?
He's sat on his bed, all gangstered up. Like he's in Menace to Society.
And what's ironic is he's wearing a Hornets vest. Fucking, I mean, you've seen what he's like with us, but I'll tell you what, mate. Can you imagine him if he saw an actual
Hornet? I love it if a Hornet actually did turn
imagine
up.
Imagine if Craig went in there. Imagine if Craig the Hornet went in there. He fucking shit his ass.
Have you ever looked on YouTube at, like, Hornets take out a nest of wasps?
No.
Because, like, Hornets are, like, proper bad boys. Like, Hornets right, of the
fucking,
insect world.
Yeah, they're like the SAS or the fucking, yeah, they're like a SWAT team.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube and look at Hornet takes out wasp nest or whatever.
Do you think the Hornets are doing that because they've got our back, or do you just think...
No, I don't think they've got our back. A Hornet will kill you as soon as look at you.
So this is what I'm saying. Bees are the only one that we can trust. Like, you know the ones I hate with all my heart? Flies.
Gone.
Flies are the most disgusting thing. Actually,
more than wasps?
Yeah. At least wasps have, like, got a sting and that, you know, they've got a little bit about them. Like, do you know what I mean? You know, we've seen with you how terrified you are. What flies are disgusting. They literally, like, sit around all day and shit and then just, like, come fucking and sit on your food.
Mm.
Like, actually worse than wasps.
Do you know how they eat your food?
How? With their bums?
No. Do you know what they do? So, do you know, have you ever seen a fly, like, doing that with its hands, like, wiggling its hands? But there you go, me demonstrating a visual thing on the podcast. What they actually do is they puke up onto your food, because they can't chew or anything, so they puke up onto your food, and they mix it with your food to dissolve it into, it's like, a soup, and then they drink it with their little thing. That's how they eat.
What is the point of flies? Does anyone even know?
Well, I mean, you could say that about any creature. What is the point of
anything? Well, no, but apart from bees. You can't say that about bees.
No, you're right.
And actually, there's a certain...
I do like bees. And actually, bees are in trouble, aren't they? We need to take this opportunity.
I buy local honey all the time. Shout out, bees. I look out for the local bees. Because obviously there's, like, battery bee farms and stuff that make, like, all the... Like, that's why we should sort of try and pull away from the sort of mainline honey places.
I mean, obviously, I don't eat honey. But...
Don't you?
No.
Why? Because you're a vegan.
Because I'm vegan, yeah.
I did not know that.
Hold on, that was really horrible what you just did there.
I didn't know.
You basically had to suppress a little fucking
snort.
Yeah,
no, but earlier on in this chat, right, you're sort of talking about bees like they're nothing, and now you, like, don't eat honey, which is their industry. Like, bee, you can't look at honey like, bees don't die to make honey.
Honey's not their industry. Honey's something they create for each other, and we go and fucking harvest it.
Yeah, but you've got to think, like, that's their... Without that, they've got nothing. I'm on your side when it comes to, like, cows, pigs, and all the other animals that you won't eat, because, like, they've been killed.
Ran out after pigs, did you?
Chickens, yeah, lambs, sheep, right. I'm fucking with you on all that, right? I can see your ideology, and I kind of dig it, right? But with bees, I'm like, these guys have actually, out of all of the people in the world, they've gone, look, let's fucking do something for other people, for actual people, and all everyone really. Let's make something.
Sorry, did you watch the bee movie and get carried away or something?
No,
bees aren't doing this for our benefit,
mate. Whose benefit are they doing it for?
Their own, I believe. I believe. Have you seen the bee movie?
I love it.
Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, it's very good. I might watch it.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. That movie puts forward a lot of the arguments that. That the reasons that vegans don't have honey.
I might actually watch it this afternoon again.
Mm. It's a good film, right?
Yeah, I love it.
It's actually got some genuinely great comedic bits in it. Jerry Seinfeld's
a donny with that sort of stuff. Mm. I've been watching a lot of old Seinfeld recently.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
I went on a travel show recently. I can't say where I went, but... it happens actually on a lot of these travel shows where...
Was it someone else's travel show?
No. Mine.
Oh, cool.
What's that?
No, just wondering if you've been on, like, someone else's one.
No. So every now and again, they'll go, we're staying in this really nice sort of eco hotel, like eco, it's really unique and blah, blah, blah. And they are very nice. The only thing is, I know what that means is, because they want to sort of sit in and amongst nature and not dominate it, that means whatever creatures come in, you just have to live with it.
Really?
Which means that, so you go into your room and in your, like, crawling on the wall are five creatures you've never seen before in your life. Do you know what I mean? Like, just mad beetle, waspy looking things and stuff like that. And then I find it very difficult to sleep in those situations. Yeah. I mean, you've seen what I'm like with a wasp, a regular, everyday household, not household. No, God forbid their household. Yeah. Wasp. Like, with those things, I just freak out, man. When we're in... We did the episode in the Sahara. We had these like tents in the desert. We were desert camping. They're really nice tents. I went into my tent and there was this like enormous kind of beetle type cockroachy looking thing with like massive like antlers on it. And I thought normally what I would do is, I don't know what I would do. I'd freak out and go somewhere else. But I thought I'm going to be a grown up tonight, right? I'm going to just sleep. It's not going to come anywhere near me. It's as scared as me as, you know, I thought all of the stereotypical things that you're told about to do with insects. So I just lay in the bed and I thought, I'm just going to go to sleep. I swear to you, I hear a noise. 2 minutes later, I open my eyes. It's on the bed running towards my face.
Oh, my God.
Right? I jumped out of bed. I screamed, right? And then I slept outside.
You slept outside?
I don't know why the logic. There's one insect in my tent. There's every other insect in the Sahara outside the tent. But for some reason, I felt safer sleeping outside.
I suppose it's like being in a ring, isn't it? As a boxer. You've only got one foe to worry about that you know is coming at you. If you think about it, it's intensifying the fight when you're in just you in a tent. You know, it's like being Conor McGregor in a cage. Yeah. If you're out in the crowd with Conor McGregor, he probably wouldn't even pick on you because there's so many other people to pick on and so much other stuff going on. But if you're just in a fucking cage with him, it's all about the fight. So, you know, that insect's won the battle of wits and the battle of sort of violence against you, I guess.
I'm very impressed that you came up with that analogy as quickly as you did. Secondly, the insect did not win the battle of wits with me.
No, he did.
Okay.
He's basically got your big bed. He's kicked back after you've run out and hit it like this. He's basically come in from the outside, by the way. He was outside before you were. So he's he's seen you go into that tent and thought, if that prick thinks he's seen anything in that tent tonight, he's got another fucking thing coming. Can you imagine that?
Look at that naive little wanker. Yeah, yeah. That's right. I tell you what, you settle down. And then I might pop in there and we'll see who's tent.
Pulls his trousers up real high around his armpits. And everyone's like, oh, Dean's going for it. And he's like, there's one thing I fucking hate, it's city folk. I'm going to fucking show him.
That is one of the things by the way, speaking of pulling your trousers up high, that's one of whenever we stay in weird places, not weird places, but places where they've got loads of insects and stuff.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom, too. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I will tend to just kind of seal off all my clothing openings. Do you know what I mean?
You pull your trousers up real high.
Trousers up real high. Socks over the ankles of the trousers. Sleeves sort of as tight around my arms as I could possibly get. If I can, gloves over the ends of the sleeves. Fuck. Just completely seal myself off. Hood up over a
balaclava
hat.
Balaclava on?
Drawstring pulled tight. If a balaclava is available, yeah, I'll wear a balaclava. Jeez. Just anything. Minimise the surface area
exposure. My only thing like yours where like years and years ago I went to Zante, right, on a lad's holiday, and we were staying in this horrible fucking hotel. It was so grim. And one morning we woke up and it like be on set with these horrible little bugs. They were like fucking on everything. Do you know what I mean? They were just everywhere. And my mate got some a deodorant can, right, and a lighter, and he went round.
So I always get slightly nervous when you name the person.
I think it was
for a couple of reasons. What? No, don't speculate now. One, because it's so needless. Nobody, not even I need that information, let alone anybody listening to the podcast. And secondly, now it sounds like you're about to tell quite an Asbo story about what this guy did.
Yeah, but he went around with a deodorant can and a lighter and basically sort of like torched them all. Like started for, like basically, he was really hungover, to his credit. Mm. And then he basically was like...
To his credit?
Yeah, he was hungover. It wouldn't be like Zanti on a lad's holiday if you weren't fucking hungover, would it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but why is that to his credit?
Because he'd been out and had it. He's fucking a part of the team.
Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, well done. He deserves a medal. Hungover in Zanti, go on.
And then he...
Hungover in Zanti committing fucking insect genocide. And we want to give this guy credit. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, he goes around, like, these were horrible bugs. Like, they were really, like, mean little things, right? And he's fucking gone around and he's, like, trying to... Obviously, he didn't kill a lot of them because they were so quick, but he made loads of, like, burn marks all over the fucking hotel room.
His credit.
Yeah. And then we had to, like, yeah. He's actually, while we were there as well, he left an iron on while we went out one night and left it on a bit of carpet, right? And it burnt through the carpet. And when we got back, it was just like a massive iron shape. I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been a fire, right? Couldn't it?
Mm.
Right? But it was just an iron shape burn on the fucking, on this carpet.
So massive fire hazard, but that's Zanti, isn't it? What are you doing in Zanti if you're not literally burning down an apartment?
And then,
am I right?
Yeah. Do you know what this is?
Do I know what he did?
He went and brought one of those little fucking shitty knives that everyone used to buy. You know, so he's kind of got a knife. And he cut the hole where the iron was, the burn mark. And then he moved the wardrobe and cut over the iron mark to cut a piece.
Okay, this is incredible. Now, this is credit. This is credit. Go on.
Then he glues it down, right? Exactly where it is. But obviously where it's been under the... like wardrobe, it's faded. Yeah. It's not, it's like more, everything else is faded. No, everything was darker around it, whatever. And then so he had to darken it to sort of match the rest of it. So he,
how did he do that?
So he got some instant coffee and then started like darkening the thing. And like, you know, like when you stand back in a hungover state and we're like, oh my God, fucking hell, you'd never, that's amazing. You'd never ever think that was like there. And then,
was your security deposit £1 million?
And then when it came to leaving, the guy went, "You're not getting your deposit back." And we were like, "Why?" And he just looked around and you've got this fucking great hole in the floor, like burn marks everywhere where he's chased. Yeah, shout out, my guy.
Yeah,
Actually, he's actually got quite a professional job now. So let's beep out his name.
What an incredible way to lose your job that would be, by the way. Oh yeah, listen, mate. No, you're doing really well. You're meeting all your targets, but we just found out that you torched some insects in Zanti, so I'm afraid we're gonna have to let you go.
Thank you, box. Fucking leaving his office like rubbish out of a fucking tent in the Sahara.
Tom, I need a box set recommendation, mate.
Ooh.
Lisa and I have made two attempts. Well, I'm not going to name one of the shows that we attempted because some people we know are in it. But I tried to watch The Serpent last night.
Yeah, I've not tried that yet. Do you know what I've been watching, which is amazing, by the way?
Go on.
Right, and I think you and Lisa will dig it. I know Lisa will. Right? Is Heist on Netflix.
I don't know why. I find it so snidey the way you go, I know Lisa will.
No, I just because Catherine's really enjoyed it. We've both enjoyed it, all right?
Yeah, so they're both birds, aren't they?
No, but they've got a similar sort of taste. What I mean by it, what I mean by this, right, is it's, you know, it's very cool. It's very, it's just got a bit about it. Do you know what I mean? It sort of sits up and you go, fucking hell, yeah, this is a good show. Heist, Netflix. No, it is. It's got a bit of edge to it. It's an interesting tale. Yeah, it's worth a watch, man. I think you'd like it as well. I'm not saying you won't like it. I think you will as well.
Anything to keep Lisa happy. So what's it about?
It's about different heists that people have done. So it's like, but quite normal people have done. I've only watched the first two at the moment, but they're very interesting. And it's the actual people being interviewed as they do it.
Are they two completely different heists?
Mate, I think there's three different heists on there, so it's pretty cool. We only watched the first two. But so we watched that. And we also watched Sophie, which is pretty hardcore, which is about killing an island of a French woman, which is pretty sad, actually, and actually quite weird. And it's actually one of the first things I've ever watched where you think, oh, fucking hell, the guy who's done it is actually been interviewed in the fucking show.
Is it a documentary?
Yeah. Do you like that sort of stuff? Like Making a Murderer kind of vibe?
Where a murderer's being interviewed. It really does depend. Some of them I've watched and I've really enjoyed them. And then others, even when people have like raved about them, I've sort of watched
I've not heard people raving about it. I found it interesting because it's like, I mean, I don't want to ruin it for you or anyone listening, but I found it quite, yeah, I found that one quite interesting. I also like that part of Ireland as well, West Cork, and sort of like, I didn't realise sort of the culture there. And yeah, I found that quite an interesting watch. For most of you, it's quite hard going at times. So again, you've really got to, you know, you can't be looking at your phone and sort of like fucking talking about like, oh yeah, fucking hell, this is that or whatever. You've got to really like sit and invest in it.
Okay, you sort of, you know what the thing is about that is, you're sort of saying it to me like I'm the sort of guy that does that, when I know that that is you, 100% that is you. Like, it's such a weird sort of displacement.
No.
Where you're basically, what you've just said to me is, I know what Catherine says to you pretty much every time you watch.
When it came to this, I was like, I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to give this my time and my patience. And I'm
sure.
And I did watch it. I just sat through it. And I was like, fucking hell, wow. And it's still going on now. So it's one for you. It's one for the ages. I quite enjoyed that. So there's two you got.
Thank you.
You watched Sopranos?
Yes, I've watched Sopranos.
Just in case.
I think we talked about this. The problem with Sopranos about how much they eat in Sopranos.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to watch that show without going and like looking in the fridge and trying to heat something. Sadly, you haven't got some ziti in your own fridge at home, but
when Sopranos was good, I used to sort of get obsessed, you know, like with making pasta to eat the next day. Mm. He also says it's better in the microwave.
Do you watch? Are you on TikTok?
No. I've still not succumbed to it.
Have you ever looked at TikTok?
Yeah, when you sent me stuff. Like, sort of, yeah.
Don't do this. Why are you doing this?
No, see, like, when you, yeah, like, you sent me stuff, people have sent me stuff, I haven't joined it.
TikTok is full of people making mad pasta recipes.
Really? What, like?
Like, yeah. Something about TikTok where they do things to the extreme. So it's like, they're making, you know, like, there's loads of extreme foods on social media now, like, where they'll go, most amazing milkshake ever, then it'd be a chocolate milkshake, then they'll put a Snickers in it, then they'll fucking ram a cupcake into the top of it, then they pour chocolate sauce over the top of that, and then they'll stick two Twix bars in, and they just go, isn't this amazing? And you go, yeah, I mean, you've put loads of chocolate.
You know, like, when you were at school, and your friend would go to the caravans and make friends with the boy who's a bit older than everyone else. Like, come back and go, oh, fucking hell, man, my mate Lee Wiggins has got, like, a skateboard and a BMX. That's how you sound when you're talking about TikTok. That's how you sound. You're like, oh, fuck. Mate, you've got to see TikTok. It's so cool. Like,
I'm complaining about it. I'm not saying it's
like,
a good
everything's
thing.
To the extreme and pushed to the max. Oh, Arabiata's just not enough for people on TikTok. You're so moving your head around, like, exasperated. You're like Kate Hudson out of a 90s rom-com.
I wasn't moving my head around.
It's like you're Jennifer Aniston or Kate Hudson in a 90s rom-com. And you just met the man of your dreams. He's so amazing. He eats with his mouth closed. TikTok.
You know, you just said TikTok three times consecutively without any comment.
I know. It just makes me laugh so much. No, that's the most excited I've seen you about anything.
I'm not excited. Listen, this is the whole point of the thing. Yes, I did sound like that, but I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying it's mental. I don't agree with it. Not I don't agree with
it. I remember at the start of lockdown, you were like, I'm not going to get sucked into TikTok. Look at you now.
I've not been sucked. Well, you know, I do look.
You
at
do,
it,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're on TikTok, by the way. Thanks to me, I've been posting some Wolf and Owl videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, I was talking about pasta. The point is, on TikTok, they do this like really cheesy pasta, like where they get the, you know, rigatoni, the big wide ones, and they'll put them face up, and then they'll stick cheese into each of those tubes, and then they'll pour cheese over the top of it, and then they'll melt it for a bit, and then they'll sprinkle cheese over, like really mad recipes.
I love the sound of that. I respect people who push pasta to its limits, so I've got to say.
When I was at university, before I'd gone to university, my mum made this amazing mozzarella tomato pasta bake. This is in my pre-Vegs days, obviously.
Pre-Veg? Oh, my God.
I was being deliberately... that was a deliberate... Don't do that to me.
Like, there's a couple of things. So the TikTok thing and that, there's a little vibe about you today. Like, I think that to complete the hat trick, you've just got to call your trousers slacks. And then we're done.
Oh, God, you've absolutely fucking turned me over here. This is a bad one for me today. Oh, I didn't realise I'd be doing a podcast with you in your absolute pomp. You're like a goalkeeper in his late 30s.
Oh, God, I love that.
Anyway, I tried to make that dish at uni, and my mum's mozzarella pasta bake, and I had no idea how to cook, so I just knew it was mozzarella, tomato and pasta. So I just took a pan, and I took some mozzarella, I just threw it into the pan, and it and it just instantly, like, burnt and crusted to the bottom of the pan.
Were you sharing the pans with other people?
No, these are like my own. You know, when you get uni, like my mum took me out and bought me a set of saucepans to take to university. Oh, so that was that one fucked.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, this is, I think, you know, there's lots of measures of intelligence, right? And I think education and all of that affects stuff. And obviously genetics have a part to play. There's certain things that show you to be truly stupid. And this is the thing that I would say showed me to be, like, really fucking, like, thick. I did that another two times.
What? So you what? Well, you went through three saucepans?
Yeah.
It's a whole set.
Well, I mean, obviously, in the end, I managed to get the shit off the bottom of the saucepans. But what I'm saying, I went through
you aimed to be a chef and became, like, an amazing, like, dishwasher up.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
A potman. So, a potman is what they call it.
Yeah, a potman. I became an amazing potman, yeah.
Do you know what you want to do? You want to turn it onto a low heat, right? You want to put a little bit of oil in. Cut your...
Okay, I know that. No, okay, look. I know how to do it now.
In case you were too scared to try it again.
Okay, go on.
Right?
Go on,
lightly saute the onions, right? So they're soft but not burnt. Brown them, okay? Then you get in a little bit of garlic. Then you can throw in a little bit of oregano, which is nice, just to give a little mix. Mm-hmm. You then put in your tomatoes, okay? So then you get that buzzing. Little bit of salt, little bit of pepper. The key to a good tomato sauce... A spoonful of sugar, okay?
I agree with you. Yeah.
Really nice. If
I'd go a teaspoon to your, I imagine, two tablespoons.
Right. If you like to live on the edge of life, maybe like a little teaspoon or something of paprika or some sort of like spice. I like my pasta spicy, okay? I'm not going to lie, right? And then you stop...
Why would you lie about that?
then you stop boiling your pasta in a separate pan, okay? In a separate pan. Okay, while the tomato sauce is bubbling away.
It's a very aggressive cooking show you're pitching there.
You then take a ladleful of the pasta water and you put it into the tomato sauce.
So tell me why
the starch from the pasta will thicken your sauce and make it a real thick, glorious sauce. It will really, really add to it, okay?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm,
you then strain the pasta. You can wash it. I always wash it off with a little hot kettle of hot water. So you get rid of the starch and makes it, you know. Then you put it back in the pan, a little bit of olive oil over it, give it a stir so it doesn't all stick. Then and only then, Ramesh, do you put the mozzarella in with the sauce, okay? And then you put the pasta, mix it all together, and boom, you got yourself a lovely pasta dish.
Yeah, and if I was still the 19-year-old university student that I was when this happened, I'd be thanking you for your new information.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking now that there's probably a sweet little soul who's literally going to start uni soon And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I want to show off to all my friends and fucking show what I'm about in the kitchen, you know, and then puts that dish together. He's got one dish now. He makes that once. He's got all the friends in the world. I don't know how you know.
And then every now and again, go, can we come around to yours to have that pasta dish again? And he goes, yeah, you can. You talk about the Wolf special.
The Wolf and Howe special, man. I couldn't have made it without you, mate. That's the thing about, I couldn't make that without you messing up.
Oh, thank you. What a wonderful thing to say.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
One of the things I discovered about cooking down onions is revolutionizes most recipes, right?
Yeah.
Like I make a chili, 5-bean chili, right?
Yeah.
If you take your time to get those onions broken down completely.
What 5 beans do you use?
The difference.
Generally.
Cannellini, black beans, kidney beans, something else. I can't remember the other two.
It's a 3-bean chili, isn't it? Everyone says 5. I don't think there's even 5 beans in the world, mate.
You don't think there's 5 beans in the world?
I know cannelloni, right?
Okay, you don't know cannelloni. Cannelloni's a pasta.
Right, yeah, cannelloni beans.
You mean cannellini?
Cannellini beans.
No, not cannelloni. Cannelloni's right. An aftershave.
Right, and then I know kidney and I know black beans, right? I know them because I've got them in my cupboard downstairs.
Okay.
Right, they're sitting there.
There's black-eyed beans.
They're the same as black beans.
There's baked beans.
Yeah, baked beans are, what's it called, aren't they? They're,
what?
The other beans, the first ones we talked about.
They're cannellini beans, are they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, let me just have a look because
I know what you're doing is you've been sucking into buying a 5-bean mix from off the market.
No, I don't buy the fucking mix. I don't buy the mix, bro. Okay, here's the 5 beans that are in a 5-bean chili. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh god, I've actually been done. I know. Hold on, let me just have a look at another. Hold on.
You've done, haven't you?
Hold on, I might be done here. Oh god, Tom. You're fucking absolutely ripping it. Okay, hold on a sec. Let me just have a look. 5 beans. Because the first one I looked at, it just said tin of mixed beans.
It's always a tin of mixed beans. And there's not even 5 of them. Like all the other beans are like, who the hell are these other two? We've never even heard of them.
Well, don't start doing a bit where the beans are talking to each other, please, for Christ's sake.
All you get is putting a...
I've looked at three fucking recipes here. Oh, God.
You know why it's called a 5-bean chili? And this is no offence because I dig vegans, I dig vegetarians. It's to make it sound more exotic and more like sexy. If it was just called a 3-bean chili, you'd go like, yeah.
You're right. I tell you, nothing gives me an erection like the number 5.
No, I'm just saying. Like, it's like there's an air of aloofness to a 5-bean chili because you're like, oh yeah, what are the other 2 beans?
Okay. Do you know what, Tom? I've got to hold my hands up here. I've looked at 5 recipes now, ironically, and they all say mixed beans and then 2 other beans.
Yeah, mate, it's a whole...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean there aren't 5... Hold on, what is in a tin of mixed beans? Bear with me 1 second, caller. Okay, I'm looking at the Tesco cannellini beans.
Yeah.
Flageolet beans. and adzuki beans. I mean, flageolet sounds like a fucking STI.
Right, let me just say, those two there are made-up beans. They're just, it's three beans.
Okay.
There's, okay. Like, look, if we've got any bean experts who listen to this, and, you know, shout out anyone who's, because
I would say, Tom, we don't actually need a bean expert. We just need somebody that isn't us.
Yeah.
To bring some,
you know what I'll say as well is this. If you really want a nice chili, is put baked beans in it.
You talk about the same baked beans that I mentioned earlier and you looked at me like I'd just been racist.
No, put baked beans in a chili or put baked beans in anything, a sausage casserole, vegetarian sausage casserole.
Yeah.
Baked beans. Yeah,
absolutely anything. An apple pie, a trifle.
No.
Do you know what's really good? Genuinely, baked bean curry.
Yeah.
That was something I made at uni.
Oh, mate.
It's absolutely delicious.
I
would love
to. When I come round to your house, I want some of your baked bean curry.
Oh, do you know what? I'm sure Lisa and Catherine will be absolutely delighted if we all meet up at one of our houses for a nice little sleepover after you and me tuck into a big old baked bean curry.
If you bring a vat of baked bean curry around with you, like a Tupperware box with a big old load of fucking baked beans in it.
Oh, God. Right, Tomo, do you want to do some emails?
Let's do it, my G, my baby.
Okay. Oh, before we carry on with this, I don't know. I haven't seen what emails this one's picked out, but I have been looking at the emails. As you know, I read all the emails. And lots of people disagree with us about the onion thing and the curry.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I would say it's almost unanimous apart from us.
Do you know what I'm going to do then? Is me and you should go out for a curry and try it together and sit and...
What an insanely tenuous way to sort of... beg a curry with me.
No,
I'd love to do that. But apparently what you do is you mix the pickle with the onion.
Oh, really?
And it's really delicious.
Yeah. I'm going to try it. I'm going to get a curry at some point this week.
When do you want to go for a curry? I mean, look, it's the day after Freedom Day.
Yeah, well,
we can do it.
We could do it this week.
I mean, we could have done it beforehand,
to be honest. I actually prefer restaurants the way they were before Freedom Day.
I tell you what I do like pre-Freedom Day, ordering with the app.
Yeah, I love it.
So good.
Yeah.
You click on a thing. Well, I mean, I was about to explain how apps work, but you sit there, a couple of clicks on the phone, 20 minutes later, some food gets put to
you. Because you know what?
It's amazing.
I have not missed. It's queuing at a fucking bar with a fucking tenner in my hand to be absolutely fucking, like, avoided by any bar staff who won't make eye contact with me while I pick anyone else.
This is an interesting one, because obviously, as we all know, if you are a woman, you'll get served more quickly than a bloke. And that's fair. I'm happy with that. Yeah. But there is something about looking how I look. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's my technique or whatever. It takes me ages to get drinks at the bar. Ages.
I've got friends who will literally go up to the bar. They'll go and buy their round. It's so quick. Like, you know this...
The thing is, though, Tom, I'm quite a passive bar queuer. So yeah. I'll just stand and wait and wait and wait and get sort of annoyed. Some people, actually, there's a technique to it. There are people that sort of use their elbows and look for little openings. My mates do this, where they go, like, quick, round here. And they're like duck and dive, and they'll manage to do it much
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying is also that is, I believe in bar queuing, right? And this is what those apps support, which is lovely, is that the clue is in the queue. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I think queuing is one of my favourite things when a queue works. I really respect it. But when you see people sort of cutting in and jumping in without a thought or a care in the world,
my friends.
Like, yeah. You know, when I turn around and if I've jumped in a queue and by accident, yeah, if I've gone in front of someone, I'll always turn around, apologise, take a step back.
Yeah,
I think
that's why you're such a gentleman.
Yeah, but it's like if there's two people left at a bar, and both you and that person know you've been queuing, I've been queuing longer than them, and they go, "Who was next?" I can't stand the people. They have no place in society. The people who go, "Oh, I wasn't in order before you."
I hate that. I hate those lowest... people. Those people are scum. I completely agree with you. Absolute scum.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're that sort of person, just turn off now. I genuinely don't want you.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, if you are the sort of person that does that, we do not want you listening to this podcast. I don't want you engaging with anything we do. I don't want you enjoying any of our work.
No.
I don't want you to come up to me in the street. I mean, you wouldn't do anyway. Nobody ever does. But so, okay?
You're done.
Over.
Go and get a drink in front of someone else who's been queuing longer, you piece of shit.
Do you think you're going to go and go to a nightclub?
No. I haven't gone to a nightclub for fucking 10, 15 years anyway. What happens if I walk in a nightclub pre-lockdown is I think, oh my God, I'm so happy I met my wife. And I spent the whole night thinking that.
Do you know what, mate? I went out, not to a nightclub even, to like a pub. You know, different pubs have got different age ranges in, you know, just naturally, the natural order of things. I remember being in a pub with my friends and sort of looking in the mirror, not deliberately, just sort of the mirror on the wall of the pub and sort of seeing how we looked in relation to the other people in the pub. I sort of, we looked like a group of old men that have come here to kind of perv or something.
Let me tell
you. It's horrible.
Let me tell you something, right? I remember years ago, and I was probably, it was before I met, because pre-meeting Catherine, so I was probably late 20, early, like 30, 31, whatever. Mm. One of my mates, very close, and I won't name him this time, but he was, you know, late 40s. We have a big group of mates of all knocked together, some people's older brothers, whatever, right? So we go to a club, and he is single. And like back in the day, he was like a stunning-looking geezer, like proper lad, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, bit of a Romeo. Time has not been kind to him. But he doesn't see that, you know, like we're talking about an older footballer, he doesn't know that the skills and all that have gone, right? So he's now walking around and he's trying to chat up every girl in there. And these girls are, you know, whatever, sort of like, you know, 20s, 30s, whatever. Too young for him, you know. And he comes over to me and I'm like, do you think it's maybe time to sort of like look at, you know, going on the internet or going on Tinder, meeting someone worthwhile, you know, trying something a bit more worthwhile than sort of going around sort of chatting to these, you know, younger girls and, you know, making a bit of a wally out of yourself. He said, I think it's a bit sad doing that. I thought, well, no one's ever burnt a sad man's house down. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is more tragic than anything you think that, you know.
There is something about blokes where some men just, all they need to do, like, I just think there's something about blokes where they don't realise what level they're operating at.
Yeah.
And they don't realise what it looks like. Do you know what I mean? So they'll see, like, they'll see a woman and like a girl and they'll go and start chatting to them. All you need is to just get have a picture of what you look like alongside that girl, right? And realise that this shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
You should not be talking to this person. It's so mad how blokes don't see that. I find it so weird.
It's insane. I mean, to be fair, but if we were talking in that, both me and you wouldn't be married right now, so.
No, I mean, yeah.
But also, like, he, I remember a time when he came over to me and he went, I'm exhausted. And I was like, why? He went, I'm chirping so many girls in here tonight. I've got a table over there. I've got that. Da, 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 da. And I was like, you sound like you're working here. Like you're a waiter.
Yeah.
How's that enjoyable?
Yeah. Imagine, you know, you think you're tired now. Imagine how knackered you're going to be after all the court cases. Okay. This is
By the way, shout out, man. I'm not going to say his name, but he's found love now and he's very settled. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And ignore what society says. You two deserve each other. So, hi to the Wolf, Owl and Swan. Just wanted to say most weekends, me and my girlfriend chill out and listen to your podcast. We're now together, but started listening to this when we were only dating.
Wow.
I think your podcast brought us closer together, so thank you.
Sweet.
After hearing your decision on Indian cuisine, we had a debate on what is our favoured meal, Indian or Sri Lankan food. My girlfriend, who is Sri Lankan... Right, stay away from our women, mate. I'm joking. My girlfriend, who is Sri Lankan, loves her home-cooked food. I've grown up eating Indian food as it was the option aside of chippy in my village. Both are great. What do you guys sway towards? P.S. We both eat the salad given in the takeaway. It can act as a refreshing side next to a normally heavy meal. I don't see how a salad can be lighter than not eating anything.
I'll give you the onions. I'm not having the salad. Isn't for me.
Yeah, the salad's a fucking joke. Also, buzzing for King Gary to start again from Joe and Sahani. Tom, have you ever had Sri Lankan food?
I have had Sri Lankan food. That little gaff in Soho that does it. Very nice.
Hoppers.
Very.
Or Paradise. There's Paradise.
Hoppers is the one. Yeah. I've done Hoppers. It's very, very nice. To be fair, I went to Hoppers. It blew me away. I haven't had enough. I live in a small town that has a Chinese takeaway, a curry house, and a fish and chip shop. So it hasn't got, you know, I'd love it to have.
Sri Lankan food is underground, isn't it? In this country, I mean.
It's
Indian food is like, it's one of the big four.
Yeah, I'd say it's the big one. I'd say Indian food is the biggest. I don't think pizza or Chinese takeaways or fish and chips are going to get in a rumble with Indian food. I don't think anyone will.
I would love. I don't know if either of us have ever had authentic Chinese food because, like, it's been so... When you see actual Chinese food, like, when you actually see pictures of proper Chinese food, it looks so different to whatever I've been served in a Chinese restaurant.
Because we all live off... Like, this is why... I've now gone, right, Sri Lanka, if I'm in London, I'll go with whatever. But Indian food, if I've tried to, as we're both trying to lose a bit of timber, you can get an Indian takeaway and you can eat relatively healthy. Do you know what I mean? You can still, you know, Chinese takeaway, all the good stuff is so unhealthy. Like, I find it, like, authentic Chinese food or even Thai food is that little bit healthier. But actually, a Chinese takeaway, I'm just drawn to, like, everything that's beige. Like, I will start my order off going, right, I'm going to have this thing that's healthy, but I will go, I might just get some chicken balls and some spring rolls. And that's all, that's the stuff that we've westernized over the years, isn't it?
There's a lot, there's a lot of, in the sort of bog standard Chinese, there's a lot of fried stuff that you pour things over, isn't there?
Yeah.
I love a bit of that.
I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
What do you have with a ball? I mean, you could.
With a ball?
No, yeah, but do you have, like, yeah, because you've got pork balls, chicken balls, prawn balls. Do they do like a vegetarian option? Wonton, I guess.
Yeah, they do. There's a Chinese restaurant near me, and they do like vegan and veggie alternatives to everything.
Tell you what,
so they even do like.
So lucked out where you live. Do you think Crawley's become more that way because you live there?
100%. I think restaurants have opened here on the hope that I'm going to spend enough money at each of their places.
No, but genuinely, where I live has not got that vibe. Like I would.
Yeah, but you're in a smaller town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Crawley's quite
cosmopolitan.
We've got Wagamamas.
Oh yeah, wowzers, wowzers.
Wagamamas. Just sorry, while we're on the subject of Wagamamas, I must say while we're on it, I've crowbarred it in. Lisa and I had Wagamamas the other day. Almost impossible not to overorder at Wagamamas.
Yeah, but also I think that if I'm gonna throw someone under the bus, I'm sorry, Wagamamas. You know, I can't have you. They don't sell prawn crackers.
Okay. What the fuck are you talking about?
Mate, prawn crackers are my favourite thing. That is, prawn crackers and poppadoms are the two things. Like, if anything, like, if I'm ever in hospital, right, and you want to know what to bring me, I want you to bring me 40 poppadoms and two big bags of prawn crackers.
Yeah. He's in there for a heart attack. But do me a favour and take him as much fried stuff as you can.
No, carry. They're easy. You can feed them to me then. And they're easier to eat.
I can't imagine a more tragic sight than me visiting my friend Tom after a heart issue. The nurse walks in. Oh, my God. You're at it again, Ramesh. Just sees me brushing prawn cracker crumbs off your chest.
No. Like, if I've got a broken bone or something.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
if you've got a broken bone, I'm not fucking visiting you in hospital.
Hey, fucking hell, you better do.
No, like, he's broken his arm, and they said he can go home whenever he wants, but he's insisted on spending the night.
Just so you could turn.
He says he won't leave until you bring him some poppadoms.
And prawn crackers. Yeah, but I want all the sauces and stuff.
Yeah, no. I'll put the chutneys, so I'll just sort of balance the chutneys in a little dish on your stomach.
Oh, my fucking gut. With soy sauce and some sweet chilli.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, listen, first of all, Wagamamas is Japanese. I don't think prawn crackers fits into that.
Yeah,
into that.
That other, Batsuai, what's it called? The other... Thai, I suppose it's Thai, isn't it?
There you go. They're different cultures, mate.
This is one of the not lowest, but genuinely, I once tried to take some prawn crackers into a Wagamama's because I think, like,
oh my God.
No, because ramen's amazing with prawn crackers.
Right.
Okay. Like, to dip prawn crackers in ramen is like a blessed feeling. You look heavenly and say, fucking thank you.
You're actually looking, by the way, guys, Tom is actually looking up to the sky. It's the closest I've seen to him having a religious experience.
Right.
It's about dipping prawn crackers into ramen.
And I went in with my prawn crackers and, they said I couldn't have them in there.
Yeah, of course. You don't take food from another fucking place into a restaurant, mate.
Yeah, no. I mean, I actually think you should be able to.
I realise that. You mean you tried
it? Yeah, no, but I think...
Tell me that's your philosophy.
I think, like, that people should be more open-minded when it comes to that sort of thing. Yeah, it's like poppadoms actually work with some Chinese food. When I've had like a Chinese one night and a sort of curry the next night, you have like, oh, actually, hold up, get the poppadoms over here. Let's get these in the mix with the Chinese and see what it's like.
Oh my God. I can imagine you also saying that to your poor wife with that sort of tragic enthusiasm. She's absolutely furious that you've got takeaway two consecutive nights. and you've got older to sit, Catherine. I know you're angry, but I thought we might have found ourselves an opportunity here.
Before I was with my wife, I used to have takeaways every night.
I bet you fucking did. It's incredible that you think that's new information.
I used to sort of like, yeah, man, mix and match and fucking hell.
Oh, it's so sad. I think one of my many ongoing epiphanies about how much I was eating was when I opened the fridge to put some takeaway in there, only to find that I'd have to move some of the other takeaway to fucking accommodate it. So pathetic. Anyway, Joe and Sahani, I love Indian food, but obviously I've grown up eating Sri Lankan food. So every now and again, my mum brings me round sort of like some of her home cooked shit.
And it's also, Joe and Sahani, we treasure you both and treasure your love. You know, thank you for listening to the podcast, and let your relationship grow like a blossom flower upon a sunny meadow.
What's a blossom flower?
Like a really pretty flower, really nice flower.
Okay, next email. Hi, Wolf and Al. Just came across the podcast a few weeks ago. It's getting me through working from home. I went to the cinema for the first time this week since pre-COVID times. I've missed seeing new films at the cinema, but there are aspects I really haven't missed. There was an irritating couple who sat behind us who wouldn't stop talking, kept rustling their bags, and the food they brought in absolutely stank. I was massively relieved when they walked out halfway through the film and I was able to enjoy the rest of it peacefully. What are your worst cinema experiences? Oh, thank you, Marcus, for giving us sort of what is an openly content-generating email there. Can I first of all say, what did I say his name
Marcus.
Was? Yeah, his name's not Marcus. His name's Mark.
I'm Mark.
I don't know why I said that. It's because his surname sort of has a US... Anyway, it doesn't matter. You know,
big shout out, Mark. But anyway. Thank you for listening and being one of our kin. Cinema experiences at a bat.
We talked a lot about cinema.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've talked about nearly all of my bad experiences at the cinema. Like, I sort of, the only thing I like in a cinema is if, like, all together, everyone in the cinema could sort of, like you could pause a movie and everyone would go to the toilet and get more snacks together. Like, you know, when you're at home. Like, you know, like now, technology is so fucking amazing. If you had, like, a button on your phone, and if over, like, fucking 70% of the cinema pressed pause on their phone, that meant the video, the film would go, we're pausing it at a moment, right when it comes to a certain moment in the film, and then you could all just go to the toilet and get... So you don't miss anything of the film, is what I'm saying.
How do you decide when to unpause it? You have to have another vote.
Yeah, it's like, no, you just wait. When you get back in the cinema, you just press play on your remote, on your phone.
Well, yeah, but... Who decides when it starts playing?
Again, it's down to sort of, okay, like 70% of people, once 70% of people are back in, yeah, then you press play again. Okay. I think that's a pretty cool idea.
Do you really think that's
genuinely, a good idea? Yeah. There's loads of times.
You genuinely
There's loads of times where I've missed, like, you know, you sit there and go, because, you know, you hope for a fucking, like, bit of C storyline to start so you can sprint to the toilet as quick as you can and grab a bit more popcorn, right? Mm. It's like fucking absolute, like, you know, fucking hell. Like, trying to run, hoping you don't miss, like, an integral point. But obviously, you're in the fucking later part of the second act of the film or the early part of the third act.
I understand the desperation if you need to go to the toilet. The idea that you're absolutely gagging for more popcorn and you find that so frustrating. Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah, I'll have another large, please. No, yeah.
Right. Let me just tell you something about popcorn, right? It's fucking rigged. Okay.
How is it rigged?
Because all the good stuff's in the top two thirds of it. All right. The ironic thing is, the fucking beginning of the film, you've got all the good popcorn. Middle of the film, you're still in the pretty much the good popcorn. Coming towards the end of the film, you're in the shit popcorn. It's all those dry bits of like aren't pop kernels, right? Like shit, all the crud, right? Okay. So you've got about this much, right? That is just cruddy out of like that much, right? Out of a big popcorn, if you can imagine. The last third of it is cruddy, right?
Can you just put your hands up again, just for the benefit of the listeners? So how much is it?
Right, so that much, right? So the size of my head is a popcorn thing, right? That much is good, and that much is crud.
Up to.
So if you're sitting like that, watching it and eating, and you're like, oh my, and then you get to the cruddy bit, it can ruin a fucking barnstorming film finish, right?
Yeah, sure. I agree with you that the bottom part of popcorn is shit, but it's not rigged.
Yes, it is. So why? Because you buy more. unless you have to take it and go, excuse me, this bottom.
So, well, what are they supposed to do?
Right, okay. Let me just say to you, if you went and brought a beef burger and the last third of it tastes like old dog shit, say your favourite thing in the world, a vegan sausage roll. Shout out Coughlin's Bakery, by the way. Mm. I actually met the wife of the guy who runs Coughlin's Bakery the other day. Sam is an absolute saint.
She is a saint.
My God, I thought Coughlin's Bakery, I was like, yeah, you two are what a perfect couple and what an amazing pair of people.
The bacon turnover, the vegan bacon turnover at Coughlin's.
I told my parents about Coughlin's and I should say that both my parents are in the vegan vegetarian realm now. Right.
Are they?
Yeah. They crossed over. It's a long story. Wow. It's actually quite a sad story, but
okay.
Well, it isn't. But so they're very, very excited. And I spoke to Sam, and Sam said that Coughlin's Bakery, we're going to look after my parents. So shout out Coughlin's. Big love to you. Anyway, vegan sausage roll, right? That you love from Coughlin's Bakery, right? Okay. Mm. I've heard this. People talk about this. I can't wait to have
it. By the way, they do a foot long one though.
Right, okay, you're having the foot long, right?
Okay.
The first two thirds are amazing. You're walking down the street, your mouth's watering, you're savouring every bite, everything's perfect. You get to the last third and it's just gristly, like someone's run their ball bag over it. It's just disgusting, right? Would you put up with that?
No, but Tom, this is first of all, it took you so long to
get that
example.
If we were in a court of law,
I wouldn't have lost because it's a completely different example. First of all, the bottom part of a popcorn box doesn't taste like someone's rubbed their ball bag over it, okay? What it is it's like the little smaller bits that have gone down and a couple of unpopped kernels, maybe. The question I'm asking you is, what do you want the cinema to do about that? Because some bits of popcorn are smaller than others. And when you complain about all the crud being at the bottom, that you've done that. Because every time you've reached in and you've twisted your big old paw around in the box, the little bits all drop down to the bottom, that's why you get all the crud at the bottom of the
popcorn. I'm not fucking here to solve Odeon and all the other cinemas' lives, right? I'm not here to do that. I've already given you one amazing suggestion. Here's another one. Get a popcorn sieve.
Now we're talking.
Get a popcorn
sieve. Now we're talking. And are you willing to take on the price increase that will result as a...
How's that going to be a price increase?
Because if you want them to sieve the popcorn, right, that means they're rejecting loads of the popcorn, the bottom third up to your top lip.
I've already got it covered, mate.
How?
You make popcorn bars from it.
You take all the shittest bits of popcorn and you make popcorn bars.
Not the kernels. You find something else to do, like... You could probably actually solidify them and actually sort of like make things out of them, like because they're actually quite stubborn and quite strong.
What would you make out of popcorn kernels?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, BB gun pellets. Also, if you solidify them, or there's got to be a role for them. I'm not saying that we give up on them. I'm saying that there'll be a role in life for them. No, I can't think off the top of my head.
There is a shortage of BBs.
I would
People
say
are calling out for
that is something for us all to get our heads down. I'd like recommendations from our collective on here and see what they think. What I'm saying to you, Rob, is those crusty little bits, you mix that with a fine toffee or caramel sauce or even a chocolate sauce, right? Dark chocolate sauce. And you run that through and solidify it into a bar. You're then making more money. And then you've got that juice that you want and the fucking sauce is spicy again, my friend.
Well, I don't think I agree with you. What do you want to do? Do you want to do one more email?
Let's do one more sweet email, boy.
Okay. I'm currently listening to this is anonymous. I'm currently listening to the podcast while sitting on a beach in Devon. The weather is great. The kids are happy. The wife is reading. Sounds idyllic, right?
Yeah, man.
Wrong. Due to COVID, etc., we've been forced to holiday in the UK this summer. To keep things brief, it's really quite dreadful. God, this is pretty full on this. I'm surrounded by pale, fat people who are having the time of their lives, probably because they've escaped the tedium of their existence for a brief few days. Oh, my God. The local English people are miserable shitbags, and as a tourist, you're made to feel like you're a massive inconvenience. I've never experienced this in any other part of the world. Anyway, just wondered what your opinion of UK holidays and whether I'm being snobbish or whether others agree with me but are not willing to say how they really feel. Anon.
Anon, I think you're being massively snobbish. I think the whole point of a fucking holiday is to escape the existence that any of us are living in. And if people are acting out of order or they are drunk on a beach and they're infringing on your time and they're making your time significantly worse by something they're doing, or by being loud, or by being inconsiderate of other people, then yeah, fair enough. I think you know that you can have the zig with that. I think if they're just existing and enjoying themselves, then I think it's pretty harsh from you to say what you've just said. I think that's a pretty hard thing to say. You know, the fact of the matter is, I'm going on holiday next week, and I can tell you now, whoever sees me will say that, oh yeah, I am an overweight person with a very, very white body. So it doesn't mean that I'm going out there with any intention of ruining someone's holiday. I'm going out there to have a good time myself. So I think, far be it from any of us to cast aspersions on and how someone else is fucking holidaying. I think it's a sad thing that you're the holiday that you have had this year is not being the one that maybe you're used to, or the one that maybe you think that you deserve. I think it's fair to say that for a lot of people who holiday in England, you know, just think yourself lucky that you have had other holidays. You've had amazing holidays. So yeah, my man, try and enjoy it. Enjoy the fact you're away with your family. Your wife's enjoying her reading. Your kids enjoying their time. And try and cut loose, my G, and enjoy it yourself.
I would agree with Tom. Can I tell you what I think the problem is? I think the problem is you've got it into your head that English holidays are shit. And, you know, you can't... we've been doing a few UK holidays over the last couple of years. We've gone to Cornwall, gone to Dorset. I've got to be honest with you, we had an amazing time, man. And, like, yes, it's less exotic. Yes, you're not having that heady thing where you're sort of getting to know a completely new culture and stuff like that. But you can still have amazing holidays in the UK. I love it. And I do understand. I don't think you're being snobbish. I just think you've slightly closed your mind off to the idea of having a great holiday in the UK. So look, I think, I don't know if you're still on the holiday by the time you listen to this, but I think I think it just needs a little bit of an attitudinal change, mate, and you'll have a great time. Good luck. I hope you have a good one.
God bless you, Noel. God bless
now,
you, brother.
Tom, we're under a bit of time pressure here because you told me that you've got to be done by 9:30. It's 9:27 now. So that puts a little bit of pressure on your closing thoughts. But Tom, would you please, hoping that that pressure doesn't put too much, pressure on you, close us out. Thank you.
My G, my brother, my homeboy. There were three different travellers, three sailors, all looking for the perfect place to settle down and set up the life that they deserve. But all of them wanted richly different things. One, when asked, said, oh man, I really, really want just beautiful beaches with like sweet, sweet sort of like crystal blue sea that I can look down and the ocean's just lapping across my feet. I want serenity and I want quiet. The second one turned around and said, oh, you know what I'd really, really like is I'd like a place with like sort of people already living there. I'd like natives there that I can sort of teach my ways and I could sort of like build like sort of, you know, a society with them and we can, yeah. So I want there to be a hustle and bustle to this place. The third one says, you know, I want rocky terrain. I want hills and I want to go and lose myself up in the woods. I don't want to sort of see another person. I want animals everywhere that I could be friends with. They all rock up and find a place that is like cold and there is a wind runs through it. And when they look around, there's no one there and the land is very, very barren and like thorns are everywhere. And they say, look, what should we do now? Should we just get back on our boat and try and find the lands that we wanted? And all of them sort of are umming and ahhing a bit. And one of them turns around and says, actually, you know what? This is the land that was meant for us. We could turn this into the utopia that we want. And maybe, just maybe, this is the land that we deserve. The other two look at him. And after a little bit of thinking, they both nod and agree. And the point of the story is sometimes you're looking for something that is just a dream and a fantasy. And actually, the truth of the matter is, we should all be trying to make the best and value the things that we have found and we have. And that's the travel in life of a journey. If I'm honest with you, it sort of went downhill after like the I was thinking as we were doing it, I kind of think I know what I'm doing with the journey, men on the journey.
Really? I mean, I think I might, you sort of disguised it quite, but I think I might know what email that was in reference to.
It's kind of in reference to everything we've been talking about today. Yeah,
but you sort of made the analogy of the UK, having a holiday in the UK being similar to resting yourself on a barren land that's full of thorns.
Man, it is what it is, what it is.
Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you, my dude.
Thank you for letting me ride alongside you, as always.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. Remember, if you've got any thoughts, you know, questions, whatever, wolfowlpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time, hopefully for the bonus episode, but who knows what our schedules might dictate.
Smiles, until next time, smiles and fire.
Take care, guys. Peace out.